click that dismiss window out of the way. You're a handsome man. You don't need to worry about fixing that hair, brother.
I haven't had a haircut in 6 weeks.
Yeah, me neither.
More than 6 weeks. I needed one when we went into no more essential. Not
are you
essential.
Gonna, are you going to cut your own hair? Are you going to risk it? Are you going to cut it?
I don't know. I may just like this is have a pandemic do.
Dude, you got to go full go mullet, man. Go big boy of the South mullet. Come on, Tiger King.
I'm not that far up right now.
All right, let's jump in. Let's get going. Hey, everybody. Frank Wassenberg here with CloudLinks and the CX Experience. We're with here. We've got joining us today, we've got Carrie Bush from AirCall. He's a director of national partner sales for those guys. And AirCall it's a unique partnership that we formed with them. When we signed our agreement with them, we were really looking forward to working with them because of the way they brand themselves as kind of the modern phone system, right? And they've got a tremendous amount of effort that they've put into the contact center side and the UCaaS side. So it's very interesting the conversation we'll have today with these guys. And I'm looking forward to Carrie. Looking forward to hearing from you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me today, Frank.
You win the award so far. One for sending me a T-shirt because I'm a T-shirt hound and I love T-shirts for everybody. But you win the award for the best backdrop so far.
Thanks. It's reclaimed wood. So
that's the trend, man.
Good use.
Where'd you get it from? Is that a? Come on, you're in South, so I got to ask you: is that a barn or what is that? Come on.
It's not. I tore down an old fence and then just tried to use what I could.
It looks great, man. That goes for $100 a board up here in Manhattan. So it's great.
I bet it does. It was not that expensive down here in Tennessee. I can tell you that.
Well, hey, listen, I'm really excited to talk to you today. So, a lot of our the people that we talk to may not be familiar with you guys. So. And I think that's a good thing because you guys have fit a very good swim lane and you're making tremendous headway in the market, flying under the radar and just getting the job done. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us a little about you. Tell us a little bit about AirCall. Let's know who you are.
Okay. Yeah, as you said, I'm the National Director of Channel Sales at AirCall. We're headquartered in Paris, France. That's where the company was founded. In 2014, so we're about 6 years old. We're relatively young company. About 3 years ago, we opened an office in New York and went from 2 employees, and we've grown it to over 100 in New York. And last fall, we launched a channel partner program here in the U.S. Though we did have one in Europe, we've had it for a couple of years. We felt it was time to engage the channel partner community and start growing our business through that.
That's great. Yeah. When we signed up with you guys, and we've had great success since then, but when we signed up with you guys, it was funny. All of a sudden, I started seeing your advertisements everywhere. I was like, you put this big push there, and I'm walking along Times Square, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing big AirCall banners everywhere. It was really cool. So let's jump into it. We actually did a demo with you guys a couple weeks ago that we're gonna tie into this video as we go forward. So we'll have both of them together. I was really excited about the demo. And some of the things I saw with the demo, I want to highlight a little bit for this conversation, if you could. What I found really really interesting was two things amongst the whole was one, how fast you guys can turn up licenses for people, and then two, how far reaching your international scope is. You guys seem to have the ability to get numbers anywhere in almost 30 seconds. It was really cool. So why don't we start off the conversation there? Tell us a little bit about that. You know, how simple it is to get somebody going on the platform.
Yeah, that was the thing that drew me to AirCall was how the speed, how intuitive the platform was. But Frank, I come from the times, I've been in the industry for a long time. So I remember when you had to launch a call center application on a PBX, and it took months to get all that worked out. You had to get your lines from the phone company. You had to configure the software on the server for the call center, and then integrate everything to the PBX. And of course, you had phones, and everything was hardwired. It was. I remember what that was. I remember how challenging it was. And when I got the opportunity to meet AirCall and see the platform, and realize that if I have a call center, customer facing group, like maybe a help desk or something like that, and I need to set up a help desk quickly, and I've got a distributed workforce, you could literally log in, create users with a name and an email address, start adding users. You can choose numbers from up to 100 countries around the world. I think the only continent we're not on is Antarctica. So, which, go figure, maybe we'll get back to global warming. You never know.
I'd go. I'll go take a look.
So we can get the services turned up immediately, running with local phone lines and or toll free numbers if somebody needed that, and all at the same time we can integrate. Let's say it's a company that is using Salesforce for CRM and Zendesk for help desk. A couple clicks from your admin from Salesforce and your admin from Zendesk get them tied together, and the applications are pre-built, so they immediately start working on the back end. So less than 30 minutes, you could have 20 users up and running, receiving calls, have the app on their iPhone or Android or soft client for Mac or PC, and you're routing calls. You can set up an IVR, you can use the power dialer. There's a lot of different things that are built into it that make this more of a call center solution than a phone system or a UCaaS solution. This is more of a CCaaS.
I agree. You know, I agree. I think when you look at it, it's the simplicity of saying, hey, I've got a Canadian office that I need to be present in, a New York office. Mm-hmm. I've got a France and England. I've got, you pick another couple countries in that 100 country roster, and you can mm-hmm. get them all up in one shot without blinking an eye with local number availability. That's a feature that's not very commonly available. It's really cool.
And it makes it really easy for customers who their customers, they're trying to do business in other countries. You can open up a virtual office with service that's local to, let's say, London, and you're still operating from here, but you have numbers that appears local numbers in London and can provide support for customers over there all without having to go over there. So it's a real easy way to set up a call center, and you can think of a lot of unique use cases, but those are just a few.
You know, I agree. And I think one of the things I also liked when we did the demo, and again, I really encourage everybody to look at the demo, because the demo is going to be a side video to this, and it's going to be really, it's going to show a lot of the features. What I thought was good is that you guys are doing the call, right? You're letting partners integrate with you for things like QA, for things like WFM. You're built with these suppliers. So you guys are going to follow kind of this best of breed approach to technology and allow you guys to build the phone app and let other people build a WFM engine, let other people build a QM engine. You'll integrate with it. You'll have elements of it yourself where you guys are doing some of those elements, but they've already got it done. So work with them. Don't worry about R&D money being spent in something that you guys don't want to be good at. Just do the phone stuff.
Right. Exactly. We have over 50 pre-built integrations. A lot of them are, you know, kind of CRM and help desk, e-commerce based applications. But as you point out, we've got some quality management tie-ins, speech analytics companies that we can partner with for web chat, omni-channel stuff. We work with Intercom. That's one of our partners on that. So by just doing the voice piece, it helps us to keep our pricing down. We're a pretty competitively priced solution. And stay in our swim lane, and then allow those integrations to do what they need to do. And at the same time, we also have an open API. So if there's not a pre-built application, it doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting to get an integration with something if it has an API.
So you take us down two roads on that. One, the pricing model, right? Mm-hmm. So the pricing model is cool. I like mm-hmm. the way you guys do it. I'm not going to get into it right now, because it's something you can go find mm-hmm. on your website, which is good right. that you have it on the website for people, because it shows transparency. But a lot of the guys that when they do these kind of, you know, omni-channel providers, you know, quote unquote omni-channel providers or true omni-channel providers, they've got to add in multiples on the price. So a license that you think is X is now an X plus Y plus Z plus Z. You know, it starts adding up higher and higher, which is the same kind of concept that you guys are following. But you're not married to any one person's technology with you guys, which I find refreshing. I really do find it refreshing. And then on the flip side of that, when you start talking about ease of integration, open APIs, mm-hmm. you said 50 pre-built integrations. You've got, I think when I looked at the demo, there was 7 or 5 QA suppliers. So you have your choice of suppliers at a minimum there. And then the CRMs, how many CRMs did you have?
There's a lot. There's probably 10 or 12. You know, you've got HubSpot, Salesforce, no CRM, Sugar CRM.
You got Customer in there, right?
Customer, yeah, Customer with a K. There's quite all the ones that you've, Zoho.
Yeah.
All the ones that you're pretty familiar with that people are using these days.
That's amazing. You know, and
Microsoft,
to me,
Microsoft Dynamics 365. So,
and it's simply done. It just says buy a seat, buy a license, we'll have the integration built, and it doesn't take any longer than that. I think when we did the demo, the gentleman who was doing the demo, Phil, I believe, activated the integration like that. It was done. It was easy. It wasn't like a whole lot of clicks and dials here to get this done. It was simply done and managed easy.
And if that's kind of, and maybe that's easy for us to say, we're familiar with the space and we're familiar with technology and things needing to integrate. But for example, if it's a customer that they're not very tech savvy, it can sound like it's easy, but it may not be easy for them. So we have a customer support team, customer success team, that we walk our customers through getting it. So in case they run into a gap and they're like, I don't, you know, who do I talk to get this login credential for Salesforce? We step them through the process. We don't say, you know, just go out there and do it yourself. We step them through the process. We work to help share best practices from maybe some other companies or from other verticals that might apply, and make sure that they know how to optimize their AirCall platform, find out if they're using other integrations that they didn't realize would be helpful to, because we don't charge additional for extra integrations. Like you could use Shopify, Zendesk, and Salesforce and connect all three of them. It doesn't cost any extra. It's a pre-built integration. So
that's great. That's
we really try to help them, maximize the use out of the system, and it doesn't. And that's our customer success team. It just comes with the service. We don't charge additional for those services or try to, you know, have an orientation or origination fee or anything like that. It just comes with the service.
So the way you got your philosophy is, we've got the contact center set up, integrations are there. If you need support, we'll get your support. Don't worry about the fee. Don't worry about a budget. We'll get you set up.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's three seats or 3,000.
And that's even done. That's the full boat. That's the integrations. That's everything. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, we're talking with you guys right now to a 12-person contact center. And I think they kind of fall into to the category of where you said, not a highly technical organization. They've been working on an Avaya PBX for a lot of years. It's somewhat to totally end of life. And they're looking at you guys as kind of the complete package. And the contact center is just some added bells and whistles, because sometimes people will say, and it's again, it's the philosophy thing, who wants multiple features and services and all the bells and whistles for a 12-person contact center? Maybe they don't. Maybe they just need some basics, because their business model just calls for them to do some of the basics like callback, some of the basics like just IVR and screen management there. You know, those are some things that could be done. And I think what you guys were offering them was just the entire phone system set up, easy to use and managed tightly. It was actually pretty impressive that you guys were able to do it so easily for them. And a 12-person firm found it rather straightforward for a 12-person contact center. It was really powerful.
Right. I think one of the things that it takes a little getting used to when people start to think of doing things in a new or more progressive way. But I mean, part of the reason why it's so fast is we're using soft clients. We don't have to deploy phones where there's no other servers to spin up. There's none of that kind of thing. And, you know, people that are used to working in a Avaya PBX world or any other PBX or voice over IP server, it takes a little getting used to, because you know, for years we've worked with phones on our desk, and a lot of people still want that phone on their desk, but it's mostly collecting dust. So it's, you know,
yeah, it's funny you say
we're
that.
Using our cell phones every day.
Yeah, I've been on. So we're in the middle of at the time of this filming, we're in the middle of the pandemic right now, right? Where I've been home now for 3-4 weeks, and I didn't even bring my phone from my office. I've been talking on the headsets almost entirely. I do some dialing on the cell phone, obviously, but I couldn't tell you where my phone is in my office. It's someplace. When I tore up all my desk to get out of there and get home and pack it all up, I put it probably in a drawer. I've just forgotten about it. And I think now it's an interesting place for now where people are getting comfortable with that technology. This work at home stuff has been amazing.
I think it's a very interesting time. This COVID-19 situation, I think it's forced us to change the way we work because we have to work from home right now. And people that aren't accustomed to that, that's a different thing. But coming out of this, you know, whenever that happens, you know, it's never going to be like it was before. We'll never. It's just one of those landmark times, you know, and I think the way it's going to impact how we use technology is going to be changed as well. I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm, you know, we talk about UCaaS. You know, what is UCaaS? It's basically a phone system that's in the cloud, right? And it's all it is moving something that used to be on premise and putting it in the cloud, maybe some other bells and whistles in there anyway. But like, what if that is, that's a function that is an old function, right? That's a process that's an old process. Why are we still using phone systems per se, right? Right now we're using Microsoft Teams, and whenever we collaborate, you know, intercompany, we can use Teams, we can use Zoom, we can use Slack, we can use all these collaboration tools. The only thing UCaaS provides that we don't already have from everything else is a DID number, right? And so do we need, for a 1,000-seat enterprise, do we need 1,000 seats of UCaaS, or do we already have collaboration through Microsoft Teams or through Google or Zoom or whatever, and then we just focus on the customer facing side of it and use integrations like what we do with AirCall, integrate to the CRM, integrate to the help desk. The access to the PSTN is the main thing that businesses need, but does every single person in that enterprise need a UCaaS seat? If I'm an IT director and I'm looking, obviously this is going to impact budgets going forward because businesses are going to have to tighten their belts after COVID-19. But if I'm looking at what my spend is, and I've already got a Microsoft Teams license, I've already got, which includes instant messaging presence, video one-to-one, video conferencing, all that kind of stuff. And I've got Slack or other collaboration tools, and I've got a UCaaS seat that I'm spending 15, 20 bucks a seat for. Why do I need all of those when I already have all the collaboration tools built into? I'm not going to get rid of Microsoft because it does my email, it does my calendar, yeah, it does my Microsoft things. Office tools. It's already there. So I think you'll see a trimming down of UCaaS and the things that are customer facing. You still have to have that. You still have to have routing. You still have to do all that. And even that's changing because of chatbots and all the different ways that we communicate with call centers these days. But I really think we're going to see a trimming down of traditional, what we'll call traditional UCaaS, because we're spending money on several different licenses that do the same thing.
Yeah, there's overlap. It's inherently there's overlap. And that's been, I think, probably Microsoft's point for a while, where they're basically saying, listen, if Skype worked the way it was supposed to be, we'd be fine. Teams works the way it's planning on working, we should be fine. That's their kind of philosophy. But I think there's still certain elements of where, and I think this is why I like the way you guys are operating it, is contact center is different, right? It's not, you can't look at contact center as just a phone system. And a lot of businesses make the mistake of saying phone system's fine, we've got it covered, it's going to do it. But contact center touches so many other pieces of the business. It needs to not be looked at as an expense. It needs to be looked at as a revenue generator for people.
Right.
And when you start leveraging it properly, it is. It's a revenue generator because you're the face of the company that's more often than not dealing with the clients when they're happy and when they're angry. And the contact center's got to be up to the task.
or when they want to buy something, right? Which is the critical part. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that. Hopefully when they're happy, they want to buy something, right? But it's got to be up to the task. It's got to be able to do it for you. It's got to be able to get the job done. And it's got to be simple for people. And I think what premises-based systems are falling short now on is that it's not just simple, right? So you take an example like this, like what you showed in the demo. I'm an agent. On Friday, we say we're locking down New York. On Monday, I've got to go get home and get working. So I go to Best Buy on the weekend. Maybe I get a headset. Maybe I get an extra monitor, whatever I get. Easy stuff I can go pick up by myself. I plug it in. And now, in a premises-based environment, maybe I've got to get a VPN set up. Maybe I've got to download some clients. Maybe I've got to get IT involved because of some integration or not. With you guys, and the CCaaS as a technology as a whole, I go to your website, I download something, and I think your download is probably like under a minute. And then I activate the whole thing, and I'm up and running like that. And the most novice of technology people can get it running, no problem.
Right. And if you need help, we've got the customer success team there to support that. A lot of our customers come by way of trying. We've got always have a standing 7-day free trial. You know, doesn't require a credit card or anything like that. It's truly a free trial. Once somebody downloads that, signs up for the 7-day free trial, if they have questions, our team jumps on with them. We really want them to try it rather than just download it and just walk away from it. We like to engage them. Right now, because of COVID-19 and because businesses and organizations are trying to work through this work from home transition, we've extended the trial to 30 days. We hope that goodwill will, you know, keep customers coming back or expanding some of their teams or work groups to use AirCall. It literally is that simple.
What have you seen as has been the universal complaint from people in this stage, right? So pandemic, you know, whatever, to put a bullet, pandemic strikes. We've got to go home. We've got to do all this stuff. We've got to be locked down. My agents can't be here anymore. What have you seen has been a big complaint from people that you guys are trying to address? Has it been getting them to work at home, monitoring them from home, setting, like, what is it?
I think the biggest challenge, and this affects any company, it even affected AirCall. Everybody that lives in New York works at our New York office, and it's not really technology related. It's just this adjustment to not being around your coworkers and having to be in maybe by yourself. Like some people that live alone or they're quarantined at home, and they're just the only thing they have is Zoom videos or Microsoft Teams to collaborate with their teammates. That's the biggest challenge that I've heard. I've heard it both internally and with other companies as well. It's an adjustment. The reality is we could have done more work from home before because we already had the tools. If you're a Google user or a Microsoft user, you're aware of that. We already had our cell phones. We were already communicating in a lot of different ways. We were just used to being face-to-face, and now we have to adjust. So that's the biggest challenge.
No, it's interesting. I've done more video calls now than I care to mention over the last couple of weeks. It's been crazy, you know. And it's funny. I think Walmart said that they saw a 600% spike in purchases of tops, but not a corresponding spike in bottoms, right? So it's some crazy high number that people are just buying shirts because it's going to be sitting on video calls all day. I've got pants on now, so I'm not going to.
Well, last weekend was Easter weekend. Of course, you can't go see any of your family or anything like that. So you're just stuck here. My wife said, hey, I want to make sure we at least make it a nice morning and we'll have a nice breakfast. Everybody get dressed. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm trying to support her in that. And the kids are kind of complaining about it. But I was a good husband. I made sure I was getting dressed, putting down a button-down shirt and slacks. And I came downstairs and I was like, this is the first time that I've worn pants in a month.
I love it.
I haven't worn pants in a month. Like I've worn shorts, right?
But, yeah, you're wearing shorts. Like,
this is amazing.
That's a Walmart, man. Walmart was the truest. It was the best stat I've seen. It was literally spike in sales of tops, bottoms through the floor. Can't buy them slow enough. What you're saying actually is it's not really a technological problem getting people to work at home. It's more of a cultural problem getting people to work at home. And now
that's what we hear the most about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's maintaining culture. I mean, how are you guys addressing that internally? Are you guys doing anything different to maintain a culture? Cause you guys have a double whammy. You've got headquarters in France. You got 100 people in New York City that when I was there, they seemed pretty young. So they're, you know, you got a lot of younger people there that may be living at home, maybe living with their parents, maybe living in single apartments. Like that was a pretty interesting shift for you guys.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my colleagues over in Paris the other day, and I said, how are you guys doing? And are you able to get outside and go for a walk around the block or anything? And he said, no, we're not, unless we have a permit that we have to download from a government website and a purpose, we can't go outside.
Wow.
And I said, well, do you have a balcony or any? No, we don't have a balcony in our apartment. He said, I just go and I open the window and try to breathe in the fresh air. And I was like, wow, that's a big difference, right? Not only are you not able to see people, but you're also cooped up. In New York, it's not as strict as you know on that, but nobody really wants to get into a crowded elevator or any elevator with other people right now and, you know, go down a bunch of floors just to walk on the street.
I've tested it. I can only hold my breath for 12 floors.
And then you're gasping.
So and then I'm dying. And I'm sucking in everything.
But it's been a big challenge. One of the things that AirCall leadership has done is we've increased the number of all company meetings, even if they're just for a few minutes, just to hear from our CEO or to hear from some of the other leadership. We always did an end of week meeting in New York that I was never able to attend because typically I was on an airplane coming back to Nashville on Fridays. And now that they've moved to virtual, to Zoom, I'm able to, you know, participate in those and see what everybody's, you know, up to, how their week went. And we get updates from all the different divisions. So we've got, at the beginning of the week, we have an all company huddle. And at the end of the week, we have an all company huddle. And then each team and their employees are just trying to stay close to each other virtually, you know, every day. Through video calls and you know, just chatting, instant messaging, Slack, all that kind of stuff.
One of the clients I saw, one of the clients of mine that we work with, a company by the name of Philip Jeffries, they're a wall coverings place down in Jersey. They're the distributor and manufacturer of wall coverings. Really cool. They could probably give a lesson in how to do an all company meeting. They have an amazing meeting where they pass a ball around, where everybody's pumped up. Not a single person rolls their eyes. Everybody was on board for it. Mm-hmm. But it's done on video. They got all the offices there. They got video. They got audio. It was the coolest meeting I've ever seen. And they have everybody from the shipping guys on up to guests for the day that were in the office. Like, I was in the office. I've been to that 3 times. And I've been in 3 team meetings. It's the coolest thing ever. So it's tough for managers to do it. And that's why, you know, contact center is even tougher, because you want to have a feel for what your agents are doing, right? You want to have a feel for what they're doing. And now, you know, if you're a larger call center, you may not have always been able to get a feel for it. But now there's zero chance that without the proper tools. What are you guys, who are you guys looking at in terms of ideal collaboration tools that you guys are seeing on your platform that you're saying, hey, you know, we can help maintain that feel? Do you have any of those kind of things you can talk about?
Well, I mean, we've got an integration with Slack. So in terms of what AirCall can do from a technology standpoint, but we use Slack, we use Zoom, we use Google Hangouts. You know, it's kind of who you use what you like the most, because we have access to all of them. But
you bring up one, actually. You bring up one that's been getting pounded lately in the press. Contact center in the cloud, there's a nervousness for people that are server huggers and like to see their PBXs. How are you set up for security, you know, in terms of compliance levels for that, you know, work at home compliance? How are you set up for that?
Right. Well, it was already, AirCall is kind of a bring your own bandwidth solution anyway. So we started out with just encryption on the lines. So by default, it was designed with that in mind, with being having a connection that may not be as secure. So
in transit, fully encrypted?
Yeah, the voice file is encrypted.
And then at rest, anything that's stored on the premises, anything that's stored in the cloud is fully encrypted as well. So you guys could say you're at rest.
Exactly.
And what's your architecture built on? Are you guys built on a proprietary switching technology? Are you AWS shop or Google?
We're our data centers are in AWS. So we've got 7 globally, maybe 8. I know they were going to bring another one on, but we've got 2 in North America, a couple over in Europe, I think Latin America, or South America, Australia, and Singapore, I think, they're pretty geographically dispersed. We use multiple carriers to provide carrier redundancy. We tend to rely on some in certain areas because we know the call quality is going to be better. It's, you know, we don't necessarily want to use a European carrier to carry U.S. traffic, right? There'd be too much latency potentially stuff like that. So, so that's architecturally, that's how we're built out. And we use the multiple carrier approach to provide, maximum uptime.
Okay, cool. And now when you look at what I find interesting is that how you guys were built with that kind of structure in place, it's calling yourself the modern phone system, seamless integration, seamless process, seamless rollout for the service, really powerful for people. Is there anything you kind of want to look at and just say, if you're thinking of a CCaaS solution, this is what you'd want to go to AirCall for? Like if you could tell people, you know, whatever, 10 words or 3 words, where do you see AirCall being the fit for?
I think it's all around our integrations. The AirCall platform was built with integrations in mind. It wasn't built and integrations being an afterthought. It was built specifically to integrate to as many cloud tools as possible. So if we want to be the default call center service for anybody that's using HubSpot or anybody that's using any customer facing team, whether that be sales or support, we want to be the default phone service for that.
So don't look at, you don't need to go to a quote unquote omni-channel provider because there's so many places that are doing it better standalone. Think of us when you want a fixed, fantastic contact center that'll integrate you with the best of breed services. You're done. You're ready to go.
Right.
I obviously did a worse job explaining that, but I get what you're saying.
Or, AirCall may not be for every company, right? But we know we're really well received by other software companies, other startups, SMB to mid-market size customers that are especially that are being started by millennials that don't want phones on their desk. They just want the applications. But even for like an enterprise work group that you've got, you know, the help desk within a larger company that they're operating in and out of Zendesk all day, every day to support their customers or their clients or whoever it is. And, you know, we're a perfect solution for an enterprise work group. We may not be the right solution to provide phone service for the entire enterprise, but those that are customer facing, absolutely.
I agree. And you can integrate with them anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, you're a perfect add-on to even a premises. So what's nice about it is you guys can seamlessly fit into anybody with an existing premises-based contact center, an existing premises-based phone system. You can integrate with that. And even if they're cloud-based with whomever, layer on your voice application for the contact center and then integrate with the phone system provider. So it's one field.
Yeah. Just come in over the top.
That's great, man. Well, listen, Carrie, I think we're at the end of what I can take up for time for you today. I know you've got a crazy day today. I really appreciate you taking the time today, especially on top of the demo. And when we launch this video, it'll be interesting to look back in 6 months and see if any of the kind of thoughts have come true. And, you know, this is an interesting time right now. And I've used this example a couple months. I'd like to close out with this thought on you is, do you think if we look back, if we go into December, right? October, November, December, and we look back and it's been 6 months of this. Do you think this will be kind of an inflection point in which premises-based systems really started to give way in the contact center space to cloud? Or do you still think people are going to hug on to those things?
Oh no, there's no way. It was already happening, and this is only going to accelerate that. There were too many companies that were caught flat-footed because they couldn't just go rip their PBX off the wall and, you know, take it home. You know, which home are you going to take it to? Who's going to get it? Everybody had to depend on their cell phones, right? Which, thank goodness, we had that. But they weren't as effective because they weren't using a cloud-based solution that was integrating to their other tools. So absolutely, hopefully by the later part of the year, we're moving away from it. And we've got this pandemic in the rearview mirror, but right now, it's definitely going to change things.
And listen, man, it's been a double whammy for the people in Tennessee, right? So you've got the pandemic. You obviously had the tornado that hit those people, and unfortunately, you don't hear about them a lot in the news anymore because the news cycle's consumed with this. But you know, all my best to the people down in Tennessee. I know you guys are going through a bunch of hard times with this situation here as well.
Thank you, Frank. So, yeah, we had a bad one in March hit Nashville, and then another one in the last week that hit Chattanooga. So it's been pretty bad.
It's been a tough one for you guys. But man, listen, God bless. Take care, and I appreciate you getting on, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Frank. Have a good weekend.
Talk to you, bro.